Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
There's a dark and troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will guide us all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life.
The storm and its fury broke today. Crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Clouds and shine bright and clear.
Now keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. If we keep on the sunny side of
let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moment be cloudy or fair, and let us trust in our Savior always, who keepeth everyone in His care.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
Sing it with us.
Keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Oh, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Most gracious Father, as we come before you, Father, as you're before us, you're in our midst, in our presence, Almighty God, we thank you. Oh, Lord God, knowing I as a man can do nothing, say nothing, and know nothing, Lord God. Oh, Almighty God, but we thank you, Father God, that for the sons of God, Lord God. We thank you for the voice of God, Lord God, that's present in this day and in this earth. And Father God, we yield to you this morning, Father. We yield each and every man and woman within the sound of my voice, Lord God, even the ones that may be over the internet. We ask right now that every spirit be subject unto you right now, Lord God. And Father, that you touch them right now in a special way, Lord God, that they could hear, perceive, comprehend, and understand what the Lord would say this day and this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me read a scripture to you. I like to take the scriptures and unveil them because it's hid right in the Word. The mysteries of God are hid right there in the Word. The secrets of God are all hid right there in the Word. They're all right there, but they're just hid. They're hid from the wise, they're hid from the prudent, they're hid from the theologians, they're hid from the present day scholars. It just hid from them. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, you know, we consider this the love chapter, charity, you know, and we think about it. But let me just read here. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So would you agree that charity is a greater gift to desire than tongues? Would that be wrong to say? Even though I understand all mysteries, and you have not this, nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, it's a lot of faith, isn't it? So that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, the works of the ministry, the works of Christianity, the works of we the children of God. And though I give my body to be burned, you say, well, if I'm bestowing all my goods to the poor, that's got to be charity. Well, it can be. But sometimes there's agendas to spy out liberties. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. So if I'm not long-suffering, I might have a problem. I might be profiting nothing. If I got envy, jealousies in my life, I maybe need to check up. Charity vaunteth not itself. If I'm going around and letting everybody know how great of a man of God I am, that I'm the one, that I'm the chosen one, amen, it's Him and Him alone. I'm vaunting these things up and I'm puffed up. I can't have what it takes and what it needs. You can find that puffed up and arrogant run together. They're interchangeable. Amen. And it's not the Spirit of God. God will catch you up. And when He catches you up, you'll be humble, but you'll deliver with all power and all authority, but not out of an arrogancy, out of a love for the people. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. I can remember when I was in the Pentecostal world and part of the Pentecostal realm, the Baptists, a lot of times, they didn't believe in the gifts of God. They would go to this thing and says, tongues will cease. And we'd always say, the reply would be, well, that's when, you know, perfect has come. That's when Jesus comes back. So we're going to have tongues and interpretation until Jesus comes. How many know He's come? Am I against tongues and interpreting? Let me tell you something. When we're in the evangelistic field, many times, I've given tongue, I've given interpretation, and I've given both, I've prophesied. A tongue and interpretation is very similar to a prophecy. I heard a preacher many, many years back said a prophecy is like if we were going to evaluate it, we'd say a number 10. Well, a tongue's a 5 and an interpretation's a 5 and you get the same thing. But see, the tongue being for the unbeliever. You know, the tongue is for this unbeliever that they could believe that God is moving and God is speaking. You know, so we want to understand these gifts. But again, as I say that, it says, for we know in part, but we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now you see, the people that put so much emphasis on the gifts and on the signs and on these things, and He said, I'm afraid of you. Let me tell you, perfect has come. The Bible said, be ye perfect, even as your master in heaven is perfect. He's perfected us once and for all. We've come to revelation, and I'm not against tongues. I speak them, but I mean, I know who it's for. But then yet there's some uncertain sounds that we just read. There's uncertain sounds that go forth. The church, the religion, or the denominations that are the most deceived, walking in deception of devil, should be the ones that would be the cream of the crop, being claiming to be full of the Holy Ghost and claiming to have the Spirit of God, claiming to walking in all authority and all power of God in the gospel. And they're the ones that this Antichrist has moved into the most powerful and in the most strongest way and got more hold of our Pentecostals than any other denomination in all of the world right now. I know that's offensive to you. And you say, well, I'm a Pentecostal. And I said, well, praise God, I'm a son of God. Amen. I got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm walking in the authority and power. And the law and the prophets were unto John. Then the kingdom was preached. And now, brethren, we are the sons of God. This is what the law and the prophets were for. Brother Jonathan singing that song this morning about honey in the rock. And I think of Samson, you know, with the strength and the power to rend this line in half. You know, and think of that. And then I think of my pastor's name. His daddy was Sam, and he was Sam's son. And he rented this church world. He rented this Pentecostal. He rented this religious veil. And he ripped that thing in half, and he pulled the laws and the prophets. He pulled it all down. Amen. Hallelujah. And now, beloved, we are the sons of God. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He pulled it down. Amen. Hallelujah. And we have no refuge in there. No longer. No longer those things, brethren. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let's go and do a little bit of reading this morning. See if the Lord will speak to us today. Amen. I'll tell you, it's one thing for the Lord to speak. It's another thing to hear what He's saying. Amen. How many have had the Lord speak to them and you're just like, oh my, what am I going to do? I'm not sure I understand, Lord God. And let me tell you, I stayed in that place. I think, Lord, help me. Oh God, give me the interpretation of this. You know, let me have this thing unveiled to me. I remember Brother Pike talking about the gifts and talking about tongues and interpretation of tongues. And he said he was praying in the Holy Ghost and it was no understanding. You know, that's what the Bible said, that when you're praying in the Spirit, that it's unfruitful to this intellectual part of you. You know, but it's building up your innermost being. You say, well, praise God. But he said, you know what, Lord, I want understanding. He goes, I want the interpretation. And then once he found this, you know, that when interpreting this Spirit language in him, then he started speaking fluently to the people. He unveiled that. It was unveiled to him, and he started speaking fluently to the people and removing it from the veil. That's what the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, brethren. We got to remove this thing and get the veil off of it. That's the only way it could be revealed. You see, tongues is a veil. You understand that? It's not seeing clearly. It's a veil. It's hid. You know, and you know, when we're seeking after the veil is one thing, but we're seeking after seeing face to face and walking with the Spirit of the Lord. Let's read here in this passage, and I may take you over the book of Revelation. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how the Lord will help us this morning. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, being that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Praise God. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. When you're walking by sight, you're intellectual. When you're walking by sight, you're looking at the vanity. When you're walking by sight, you're in the veil. When you're walking by looking at people and all these different things and seeing, you're walking in vanity. You're walking in blindness. You're walking with shucks on your eyes. We're the sons of God. We are supposed to have been baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to remove these blocks, to remove these shucks, to remove these blinders off of our eyes, that we're not walking no longer in the darkness of the intellectual concepts of religion. That's a dangerous place. It's like I said, that prisoner came up to me. He said, man, he said, brother, I heard this message you preached. He said, I don't want no religious spirit. And that's the toughest one to even see, let alone cast it out of somebody. That's a stronghold. That's a powerful, that's the most powerful demon that I've ever seen. A sodomite demon, an alcoholic demon, a drug addiction demon, a suicide demon. Man, those things are one thing. I mean, you could deal with those things and you could take authority over that, which you can in religious spirit too. But that religious spirit is so shrewd and climbed up into the upper lintels, climbed up another way without the wedding garment on. And it esteems and exalts itself so lofty and so far up there that it looks desirable. And it makes it desirable because the whole world's got its eyes on it. I could talk about many of these big television evangelists, and there's ministers. I had a minister come to me, and he said, "Look, Brother Robbie," goes, "I'm going to start a church, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going off over to Joel Osteen. He's doing a seminary and a training seminary, this and that, and it's going to cost me, you know, a few hundred bucks to go to this seminary and do this and that." And I thought, man, you're sure starting off wrong. Man, I would run from that place as fast as I could. I'm telling you what, I can't. "Oh, but look, Brother Robbie's successful. Man, look at him where he's at. Look what it's, man, he's successful. Man, he's got television all around the world. Man, he's got books that he's selling and all this kind of stuff." He goes, "That's what I'm going to pattern my ministry after." I said, "God bless you." Amen. I can't think of anything worse. The man was taken. If he was under the grace of God, he's spinning the dial thinking, "I wonder how far this grace goes." Spin it again. You see, people don't visualize things like that. But see, he had his eyes on something that was temporal, something that was carnal, something with prestige, something that, you know, they like that catching up. And he longed for that. At the same time, the man's going through a divorce. You know, he's coming to me for counsel for his wife. And he's going through a divorce. At the same time, he's seeking, he's going to build it. He's already talked to the bank. He said, "Man, I found a piece of property for this and that. It's going to cost me $1 million to build this church and thus, thus, thus." He's got everything all worked out intellectually. God don't work that way. God don't send a man of God to build a church to the banker. Y'all know the story. Brother Pike went out and had to borrow a pick, start picking the ground. Guy drives by and goes, "What are you doing out here? I'm building a church. Where's your people?" And he goes, "Well, the Lord told me to build a church. The people will come." Well, there was the first one right there. "How are you going to pay for this?" He said, "Oh, Lord, take care of that." And that gentleman went and bought a load of block. That's the way the Lord works. Amen. "Oh, but I got to have a congregation. I got to have people. I got to have this. I got to have that." Well, that's your intellectual way. You do what God says. You know? It's like I said, you know, Moses got a cell phone text and he looked at it and goes, "Oh, yeah. They got that Red Sea split right now. I heard the ground is dry. Let's go, fellas." Didn't work that way, did it? Huh? You could sense the fear that gripped his heart to see the dust cloud of this Egyptian army pressing in on him. But he said, "Let me show you the salvation of the Lord." Amen. Salvation comes when everything looks like it's crushing and everything killing and everything putting down. That's when salvation comes, brethren. You know, otherwise it's not salvation. You know, if a person's out in the perils of the sea drowning and you throw him a life preserver, you're saving him, right? But when he was up in the cruise ship, you know, with his little glass of martini, he didn't need salvation, did he? Amen. The first thing we better come to is find out we may be lost. Amen. Hallelujah. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Hallelujah. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Hallelujah. "We walk by faith. We walk by the spirit of the word, not by the letter of the law." We walk by the spirit of the word. Amen. The spirit of the word will always line up with the letter of the law, brethren. You know, we're not doing away with the word. We're not doing away with the law. The law is laid up, yes, but we're still fulfilling. We're the sons of God. Jesus was the example, the firstborn of many of us. Amen. "We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord." And this is simple, I understand it. But see, many times we're not absent from this body, but we want the Lord. But we have to be absent from this body. Now, most people take that scripture, when you hear it spoke about, most people are talking about, you know, "Well, one day, you know, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to give up the ghost. You know, and I'm going to be absent from this body and I'm going to be present with the Lord." Well, let me tell you, if you're not absent from the body now, the day that you give up that ghost, brothers and sisters, isn't going to just make you present with God. That's a misconception and a lie come through the Pentecostal churches. That is a lie from hell. Sounds like I'm against the Pentecostals. Well, you Baptists ought to feel pretty good. I've backed off on you. I got many Pentecostal brethren that I truly love out there. But they've got arrogant. They've got puffed up. They've got flashy. And they've made a counterfeit and a substitute, brethren, for the anointing of God. And it's frightening to me. I appreciate Brother Bo. He's come in and got his eyes opened up and he's seeing some things differently than when he first came to this church. But he's starting to see some of the things that Brother Rob's talking about and bearing witness of the powers of deception through the religious mind. And it's something that we're pushing for and striving for. And you know, when we put peers around us and other fellow ministers around us, you look at them and you say, oh man, this is, you know, I got something. I thank God for Brother Pike. I looked at him in that way and I said, you know, this is an example right here of a true pastor. This is an example of a man of God. This is the example of evangelist. This is an example. And I had something to look at that I could try to push and press for. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, brethren, to have a man of God, to have a pastor that you can try to follow and look after. If you have a pastor that you can't do that, you need to find one. Amen. I mean that with all sincerity. I don't find fault with people if they leave here, if they can't follow me. But they got to have somebody that they can follow and work with and labor with. And if they see weakness in the one that you're following, that's where your part comes in to help them with strength. I've seen Moses had to have men come up and hold his hands up. Come on now, brethren. Come in and help hold his hands up. You know, and they were help. And if I'm weak, it's because you're weak. Can't we draw strength from one another? Well, I come to church to get strength. But brethren, let me tell you something. That's not God's way. We come to church to give strength. That's what we come to give strength. And when you come to give, I'm going to be partakers of the service that I'm going to give. You can tell the ones that have that when they come in and we're singing the song, brother, they're saying, woo, praise God. And they're giving back unto the Lord. Brother Dorsey said, let's give him a wave offering, wave the glory back to him. Amen. Let's give it back to the Lord. Amen. And you start giving back and all of a sudden you find this power coming to you. Amen. But oh, I'm going to get a hold of this. What did they do there in the wilderness? You know, when the manna come. The one said, man, I'm going to get enough for tomorrow too. It wouldn't warn me. Unless he done that on the Friday. Yeah, on Friday he could gather up enough for Saturday. It didn't go warm me. But if you gathered up enough on Tuesday for Wednesday, it'd go warm me. I read this little thing a theologian wrote. Great Bible scholar. And he explained what this manna was and how it was. And he took the supernatural away from it. And that's one thing he did not touch in. How come if it wasn't supernatural, if it wasn't something divine from the heavens and from God, why would it not go wormy on Saturday, but it would go wormy on Friday? Why? You understand what I'm saying? And see, that just removes this intellectual things. I tell you, this History Channel, people that think that the History Channel is virtuous, and they can sit and watch this History Channel, I'm telling you what, go back to your soap operas and watch them. Let me tell you the kind of filth that's going on in History Channel. People will watch true things. Well, this is Abraham Lincoln, and he was born over here, man, and this is what he done, and this happened to him when he was a boy. And they got enough understanding to see the pattern and to watch this thing. And then all of a sudden they got in and go, oh, yeah, but this is what's been here in the Catholic Church, and this is the book of Judas. And they teach it as an absolute, and people sit there and eat it. My own brother-in-law that was here just visiting, he says, well, you know, Brother Rob, we know that Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. I said, no, sir, impossible. Oh, come on, bro, you know, come on. I mean, why would we even believe a concept of something as that? That defiles the scriptures and the word of God. He did not come here looking for a wife. He came looking for a bride. And you say, oh, that's the same thing. And I say, yeah, it is in another realm. He wasn't looking for no natural wife. He come and done away with that whole thing. That whole dimension was done away with. It was gone. Gone to him. He wasn't looking for no natural woman. He found what he was looking for when Peter said, I know who thou art. He found what he was looking for when Peter said, thou art the Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He done found what he said. He said, okay, my mission is completed here. And he gave him the keys. Come on, did he not? He gave him the keys, right? And what did he do with them keys? He went right down and saw the same spirit of the Antichrist, the same devil, the same religious people that was trying to put his name to a stop. He said, don't you preach that name. And they took and flogged them and beat them. He said, don't you mention that name no more. And then we got these Pentecostal preachers that come against Jesus' name baptism. It's the same devil, the same Antichrist. We can't walk with them. We can't fellowship with them. We can't talk with them. We can't because it's Antichrist. And if we walk with them, we become partakers of their reward. Give a prophet a glass of water, you're partakers with his reward. You give one of these guys a cup of water or a blessing or put Godspeed. We can't put Godspeed to it. And we put Godspeed to it. And these people esteem these as great men of God. And they're antichrist. Just like they esteem the Sanhedrin. The high priest come walking in among them. Smite him across the mouth. And he was nothing but a devil incarnate in the flesh. But he climbed up into the highest office possible. And that's where we're at today, brethren. It's exactly the same way today. Make sure you know where your loyalty's at. Make sure you know exactly where it's at. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on the behalf that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in the heart. Unveiling the hypocrite right there. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. See, he totally removed himself from that. Do you see that? I'm sober for your cause. God, I need help on that one, brethren. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Did Christ die for you that you could live unto yourself? Come on, brethren. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Do you understand that? This is why the Catholic Church keeps that crucifix. This is why that Catholic Church has Jesus stripped off, hanging on a cross with a little loincloth. That is one of the grossest things that could be done in this day and hour. You have a crucifix hanging in your house on a wall? Shame on you. Have one of our sisters that is set under Brother Pike and set under this. And she makes a post on Facebook the other day with Jesus hanging there with a loincloth hanging on the cross. And puts it on there. Says, I like this, and posts it and shares it for everybody to see that. You know, let me tell you something. And I've shared this before, and I'm going to say it again for ones that don't know. I'm going to tell you what that is. Now let's take a mother that's some beast, some perverted beast, animal, reprobate man breaks into a house and takes a little young lady that is pure and innocent and ravishes her, molests her, and rapes her, and a child comes out of this thing. And the child grows up, and the child's about 12 years old. And she says, look, and shows all the pictures. Said, you know, we had security cameras in our home when this happened. We had a full security cameras, and look, here's mama getting raped by this beast. Here's mama, man, gets all of her clothes stripped off. Here's mama laying there, man, in exposed, in her nakedness, exposed. I just wanted you to see where you come from. See, where mother would never do that. She would never unveil this terrible, filthy thing that took place. You understand that? And that's what happens when we go and strip our Lord off and put him on a cross. That was the most shameful thing. He was a holy man. His garment went all the way to his feet. He kept himself covered. And then all of a sudden they strip him off. The most terrible thing, the most low class, low life thing that could happen to a man in that day. That was for the thieves and the scumbags and the robbers and the murderers. But he lowered himself and condescended to such a state for you and I wouldn't stand the judgment of sin. But it says right here, we don't know him no longer after that flesh. We don't no longer know him after that. We know him because we are the children of the resurrection. We know him as the resurrection. We know him, brethren, not in that way. We thank God for what he done for us. Amen. We got life. But we don't go and put that thing back up there like that. We can't do that. But see, this is what happens when people walk in intellectual religious vomit. They don't understand. They don't see what they're doing. And they walk in the blindness of religion. And they're just like children. The Bible said they come to eat and then they rise up to play. And they make a mess of things. Amen. We want to get sober minded in God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's awesome. You know what that ministry of reconciliation is? Amen. Praise God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and through God did beseech you, by us we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's talk about this reconciliation for a moment. It's telling us not to know Christ after that flesh. Is that right? Not to know him after that. Now we're going to talk about he gave us the spirit of reconciliation. You know when something is reconciled? Now the thing is there again we find this mind of revelation of differentiation again. Is this right? Because we find again a body, soul, and a spirit. Find the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. And we start looking at these dimensions here and we say, what part is reconciled? See, there's a part of it that's already hid away. Now, I know some of you read the scriptures and it talks about some were adopted into the kingdom, right? That's what the Bible said, we're the joint heirs. And it goes on to, you know, about this adoption. And there's some that are born into this kingdom. And you say, which one are you, Brother Rob? I'm both. I have to make myself twain. I got to make a part of me that has to be reconciled. I got to make a part of me that is adopted in the wild tree by nature and being grafted and adopted in. And I got to make another part that's birthed. I'm born of the Spirit before the world ever was, before the foundation of this world, leaping for joy. That's part was birthed into the kingdom. You understand that? And the thing is there's a difference. That part that's birthed into the kingdom is perfect. The part that is coming in. You see, Moses was adopted into Pharaoh's household. Do you realize that? He was adopted. He wasn't born into that thing. He was adopted into it. But he had another blood seed, didn't he? Come on now. There was another type looking at the shadow or looking at the allegory of it. And the thing is if what part is being reconciled? I've got to take this carnal concept of the man and I got to reconcile it through the renewing of my mind, through the regeneration, through the casting down, through the struggle, through the fight, through the travails, through the warfare, and I got to bring it up. What part are the people seeing? They're only seeing the reconciled part. That's what they're seeing. The people of this world don't know this word. They don't know no man after the flesh. And we call ourselves Christians and we say, well, you know, you're not supposed to know me after the flesh. You shouldn't know me after my smoking. You shouldn't know me after my cussing. You shouldn't know me after my drinking. That's not what the Bible's saying here. I know you exactly of those things because those things are the fruit of your spirit. Of your spirit and not his spirit. The fruit of his spirit is love we were talking about earlier. And joy and peace. You know, these are the fruit of his spirit. Fruit of your spirit ain't no good. You know, so what are we going to do with that? And if this body has defiled its way before and is sin to corruption and made to go back to the dust, it's got to be reconciled, doesn't it? Now you say, well, I know that Jesus purchased it and that's the purchased possession and I'm redeemed of the Lord. And I say, yea and amen. But you know, there's something that happens between that redemption and this part that's already born and birthed in and hid away and sealed in. There's something that's taking place in the middle. Jesus didn't bypass that, did he? He fulfilled that, didn't he? Jesus came and walked in flesh. Is that right? He came and walked. He came and robed himself in flesh is what I should say. And he came and walked in the man's body. And he conquered and overcame that thing. Is that true? Now, he was the firstborn of many brethren, and we do the same thing. And the thing is if we are a son of God and we're walking in the Spirit of God, you see, we're doing the very act. But again, as you hear me say this often, Jesus did not come and overcome the flesh and overcome the things of this world for his salvation. He is salvation. Come on now, is he salvation? We know he's salvation. He is truth. He is life. He is salvation. He is pure. He's all things. Amen. In that perspective, so he did not come to prove to himself of who he was. He came to bring it to a comprehension, a revelation to mankind. And this is what we have to do. And we're not going to do it through what we just was reading here, but through arrogance, through being puffed up. You see, but what we do is because we are too focused in the veil, knowing man after the flesh, so we learn to polish the flesh. And we learn to walk in a fleshly way that would seem to be pleasing to the religious people. I've got all the T's crossed. That's why some of the preachers, you know, they walk so arrogantly. You know, they just, you know, they come into your presence. Pete remembers one of them reprobates rebuking me one time. And boy, he had his three-piece suit on, boy, and he walked like this, son. And I tell you, I said, Lord, can I just get in the flesh for a minute and slap the fire out of this guy? Just is caught up in his arrogancy. And you say, Brother Rob, that shows your heart ain't right. That's why I ask you to pray. Come on, I'm a man. I deal with things. You know, and I'd have loved to slap that guy. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I would have liked to take him up by his little cocky, arrogant little self and pick him up and slap him about five times. Say, what you gonna do with that, Mr. Revelation? And set him down on the ground and smile at him. Say, Brother Rob, you need help. I know, I'm confessing. I just tell you what I wanted done. But you know what? That's when I got to conquer that guy. And I put him down and I cast those thoughts down and I just smiled at the guy. Yeah. It's okay, sir. There's another guy in here that just wanted to say something, but he ain't gonna. Come on, you never dealt with that?
Yes, sir.
Come on now, brethren. I know that we get so religious. I don't even war with them kind of thoughts. So you a liar. Come on now. We all war with those kind of things. Amen. I thank God I didn't do it. I was nice to him. Brother Johnson was there not too many weeks back, and one was in my face saying I was nothing but the devil and I didn't have the Holy Ghost, this and that. And I told one guy, told me that one time. I said, you know, it's a good thing for you I do have the Holy Ghost, because this ignorant sucker man would have been all over you already. That's the truth. You know, hey, that's flesh. I understand that. Was you not born of the flesh? Huh? Is not all men's hearts flesh and life? So I'm just talking the way you think. Sometimes you might have fear that holds you back. Sometimes you might have God that holds you back. People don't like that, you know. It's like, oh man, you know, we got, you know, praise God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God for the Spirit of God. Praise God for the ability to put that mind down. But let me tell you, you war with it. You fight with it. And let's think about some things here for a moment, brethren, as we're looking into the Scriptures and the Word. In many cases, we read right by a depth, a revelation, an unveiling, something that's revealed. Now, the thing is when you're carnal and fleshly and religious, it's hid from you. And I could come in and I could speak expressly as the Lord will give me the ability to do, and it'd still be hid from you. You'll never perceive, you'll never hear it, never see it. And there's people that in many cases could be in the presence. Now, let's talk about me again. There would be times that my pastor, Brother Pike, could be going into revelation and going into things because of the preparation and because of different things. I would be sitting there just drawing and feeding and eating and raptured with him, caught away with him. And just in another realm, another dimension, another place altogether. And the next time I could be in the brother's presence and he could point his finger at me and say, Brother Rob, you're carnal minded. You're carnal minded, brother. You know, that's enmity with God. It'll put you in hell, sir, and rebuke you. You know, again, as we use Peter for an example so oftentimes, he had a revelation. Here's the keys to the kingdom. The first thing he done with the keys is he preached Jesus' name, the name that they tried to stop. He brought in Jesus' name. He was there. And when the Lord Jesus said, go ye and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son, he knew that he knew. He had that revelation. He knew who the Father's name. He knew the Son's name. He knew the Holy Ghost's name. And the Bible's so clear. And I know I'm not going in Jesus' name baptism again, but I'm just telling you, that's how clear it is. It is so simple. But why cannot these Trinitarian preachers see that? And they preach a three-person God. Why? Because they're blind. Now let's talk about that blindness for a minute. Is that blindness going to put them in hell? It very much can. But let me tell you something. God even blinded his own elect children for their salvation. He blinded them in part, for they wouldn't be accountable. And the thing is that, yes, there's going to be many of these Trinitarian people that were sincere and loved Lord with the Holy Ghost that can make it in. But there's others that are wretchedly denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not going to make it, brethren. When they reject sound doctrine in the Word, they will not make it. I'm telling you, it won't work in God. It can't work. And he said, well, I hear you preach, preacher, that you say, you know, if he has one vessel to honor, another to dishonor. I say, yeah, and amen. I do preach that. But let me tell you what he always is going to be is he's going to stand with this word and for this word. And there's going to be many of them that have rejected the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. They're not going to make it. Sometimes the religious have more of a struggle to make it in than any others. Let's turn over to the book of Revelation a moment. Revelation 6, chapter 1, it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it was the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard a beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when I had opened the third seal and heard the third beast say, come and see, and beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And I see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was death, and hell followed with him. And the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with the death and with the beast on the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, I'm going to try to say a couple things right here, speaking about that fifth seal for just a second, if the Lord will allow. What is that? Who are those people? Now, see, we can start differentiating. Some will think that these are the saints of God, the forefathers of old, that have gone on, you know, into sleep. And I'd say yea and amen. But there was a white robe given unto them. Is this correct? Now, what did we have when this flesh was slain? What did we receive? A white robe, is that right? Could we, the church, be the souls crying out from under the altars, how long, Lord God? How long, Lord God? And you know, we find this in the Spirit. We find this in a Spirit emanating from us. How long, Lord God, before you avenge the blood? You know, how long before this is going to be? You know, we find Jesus there travailing in Gethsemane, you know, in the same kind of spirit, the same kind of thing. And what we have to do is we have to unveil this and see the church. And so many times when we get into this Bible and we start reading, especially when you go to the book of Revelation, we want to read the book of Revelation in these seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in a chronological way. And we want to put it right down in that, and it will not work that way. It doesn't work that way. It can't. Because there's things, because there's no time in the Spirit, and there's things you go over and read in another perspective. You see, Brother Pike made some statements, and he was speaking about William Branham, and see, and people can't take these statements and defy and blast Brother Branham and think because they come to a greater or a newer revelation that it was hid from Brother Branham makes you better than him. It absolutely doesn't. He was God's elect. I said some things the other day about Luther. He was a Catholic priest. He was still in Trinitarian doctrine, but he was used as a church age messenger. He was used as one of these seven spirits of God, brethren. The Bible teaches, and if you go in and start trying to understand these seven seals, and the seventh seal that Brother Branham said that he couldn't bring forth, and the reason he couldn't bring it forth, he said it was for the Jew. He was a little bit right. It was for the true Jew. Were you saying Brother Branham wasn't a true Jew? I'm no more saying that than I'd say that Martin Luther wasn't a church age messenger. Oh, he was a Trinitarian, but he was a church age messenger. He brought a revelation to the people, but he had things that he had to get rid of. And it was things that Brother Branham did not see because of the pattern that he ran. You understand that? Now, when we think of Elijah, can anybody deny that Elijah ran an awesome, beautiful pattern? But then yet he had to come back in John the Baptist. Is that right? John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. And then we come over and we find this same thing. If Brother William Branham is a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ and to this revelation message, who are you today, brethren? We're the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we got to come to that revelation. We are the sons of God. Now you see, if the law and the prophets were unto John, then I could say the law and the prophets were unto Brother William Branham being the last prophet. Brother George didn't like to be considered a prophet. It would have grieved him for that last book that they printed after his passing, his son done that, and they put it the 21st century prophet. See, that would have vexed Brother Joe because he never was in any way, shape, or form in competition with Brother William Branham. He knew who he was. He knew who he was and what his purpose was. And you say he was forerunning Brother Pike. He was forerunning the sons of God. The message of the sons of God. That's what he foreran. Just as John the Baptist did. So we come to know Jesus Christ, so we blast John. No, I don't blast John the Baptist. Oh, but he was a rugged man, and man, he was out in the wilderness, you know, and he ate the locust and ate this and that. Praise God for John. He had a revelation, didn't he? He saw something, didn't he? And he come and he declared it and spoke it forth. You see, now, if Brother Branham couldn't see the seventh seal, and he said that he couldn't bring it forth, because it was for the Jew. Now, then we come and we find this message, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Brother Pike, he brings it out. He brings this thing forth. Why? Someone would go to the scriptures and say, well, you know, they said that there was not one found worthy in the earth to bring it out. There wasn't one found that could do that, except Jesus. Now you come to the revelation now, ain't you? You see, the Bible said that there's not one that could receive his glory. But then yet I stand here before you and say, I've received the glory of the Lord. Come on now. I tell you, I am the glory of the Lord. And that draws people up. But you see, I'm not another one. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am not another one. I'm a son of God, child of God. I'm one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we think of these souls crying out from under the altars for the revenge of this blood. And we start understanding the church. We start understanding being absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And we got to start bringing these things into now instead of looking at them as then or to come. I say that often. It don't matter where we go in the scriptures or in the Word of God. I say, why do you keep looking back? Why do you keep looking forward? It's now. And you say, so I could take you over in the book of Revelations and it shows Jesus coming back on the white horse and it says something. It says, this is the first resurrection. Anybody can contest that? It's the Word of God. But he's already resurrected. Now, how come when he comes back on the white horse that somebody's going to say that he's the first resurrection? Are you disputing with the Word of God? Absolutely not. He is the first resurrection. That's what they saw coming on the white horse. They saw the first resurrection coming down. That doesn't mean that was the resurrection. He already had been the resurrection. He was the resurrection when he came forth. And then they say, well, that's the second coming of the Lord. You know, but let me tell you something. The second coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the Lord has already taken place. And we are the children of the resurrection. And what they do is they get all these things and they don't understand. When you see Jesus, you see the first resurrection, brethren. Do you understand that? So what resurrection are you, Brother Rob? I'm one with him. You know what the second resurrection is? It's those ones that are going to be resurrected and come forth to stand judgment. You understand that? Now, as we read right here about judgment, and the thing is if people would come to the revelation that they need to put themselves in the judgment seat of the Almighty God, or bring themselves to be judged. And they don't despise chastening. They don't despise judgment. They don't despise these things because they know they've got to get that man dead and killed out. It's the enemy of God. And this judgment begins now. You know, we say these great cloud of witnesses around about throne. That's us, brethren. Do you realize that? We're the sons of God. And we are the cloud of witnesses around these people in this world right now. Oh, I believe in another realm, Brother Rob. I believe in the spirit realm. And I say, hey, I'm not doing away with that one. I'm trying to bring you to an understanding. Oh, you're looking for Jesus to come. I say he's came. Come on now. Well, you know, brother, I've been in the church for many years, you know, and I've even listened to some of Brother Pike's messages, and he spoke about the coming of the Lord. And I said, hey, I understand that. I listened to Brother Pike minister to the level that the people were at. And he would talk to them, and the things he'd done to gather their attention, and then he was looking for a hope to bring them into a revelation and let them know that they are the coming of the Lord. Come on now. That's offensive. But if you don't understand who you are, it's going to be offensive. If you don't understand that you are the resurrection, if you don't understand it, you'll never be part of the resurrection. I'm not looking for a resurrection, brother. I am the resurrection. I'm not looking for eternal life. I am eternal life. You understand that? Well, one day God's going to find me. One day I'm going to find God, you may say. Well, I tell you what. He sought me out and found me when I was in my sin. Amen. Put my name in the book of life. You see, people are confused, brethren, and we know where confusion comes from. It's from the devil. And when they come into this church and their intellectual concepts of religion, they birth through the carnality. They birth through the reflection realm. They birth through the harlot realm. You see, when a child of a whore is a bastard child, okay, it's a bastard child, but it'll sit there and stand and say, I've got life. It'll stand there and argue for the rights to the throne. It'll stand there and dispute, and we find these wars and battles been going on for thousands of years. You know, we're thinking of these twins that are born. We look at the struggle that Esau was having. And we start looking at these twins coming down through time. We see the struggles with Ishmael. We find struggles in Israel right now for the Holy Land. You know, these Palestinians to this day are saying this is ours, and they're saying no, it's ours, and there's a dispute. All that is just a typical thing, brethren. It's all just an allegory because the devil is disputing. Your first birth, your fleshly thing is disputing. This is me. It's my life. It's my flesh. And I'm going to do what I want to do with it. I'm going to live where I want to live. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to fellowship where I want to fellowship at. And you're just lost on your way to hell. We do not make those decisions. We follow the leading of the Lord. The sons of God, the Bible says, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They're not led by their will. They're not led by their desire. Jesus being the example when he was at Gethsemane, what did he do? What did Jesus do there at Gethsemane? Nevertheless, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. He put that one down. So when we start rending the veil between all these different dimensions, we got to rend the veil between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. We got to rend the veil between the inner man and the outer man. We got to rend the veil between the natural elect and the spiritual elect. We got to rend these veils all the time. And you got to find out which one are you operating under. And we could take the man and make him so religious and so staunch in his religion, and we could catch him up. Do you realize that? My Bible says that when we catch up or lift up, it's only one place, that's to the cross. And it's to draw other men to him. That's when we get lifted up. It's to the cross. But if we get lifted up in some other concept of thinking or education or religious understanding or in the gifts. You know, the thing we read about the gifts today, if you would come, the gifts are desirable things for the church. I'm not against the gifts. I believe in the gifts. We lay hands on people. We pray for people. We want to give people a word of knowledge. We want to give people a word of wisdom. We want to discern spirits. Yes, these gifts are there. But brethren, the gifts do not vindicate sonship. This is the rain that comes down on this whole world. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Come on now. And it said he'll pour out this gift upon all flesh. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. Isn't that what it says? Go and read it in Joel. All flesh. All corrupt flesh. All flesh is corrupted away. The gifts don't justify. Prophesying doesn't justify. Speaking in tongues doesn't justify. Working in the word of wisdom and knowledge and gifts doesn't justify, brethren. Discerning and things doesn't justify. Yes, we the sons of God have those things, but that doesn't vindicate and justify God. There's only one thing that does that. Amen. Only one thing, and that's His Spirit. And His Spirit, brother, will always bring the glory to Him and never to you as a man. But as you lift Him up, He lifts you up. As you praise Him, He praises you. As you bless Him, He blesses you. As you draw nigh unto Him, He draws nigh unto you. And most people haven't come to that revelation. They're sitting back in there, give me, give me, give me, Lord. Give me, give me, give me, Lord. in that mind of man, oh, come on. Oh, Lord, what are you going to do for me? Oh, Lord, what can you do for me? Oh, Lord, help me out here. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, do this. Oh, Lord, do that. And somewhere you say, you know what, Lord, I ain't got much, but I'm going to give you everything I got. Here I am, Lord God, use me. Lord God, I don't have a lot to understand, but I'm going to tell you what. I do know that you came to this world and you shed your blood and you died for me and gave me everything to pertain to life. I'm going to tell everybody about it. Amen. Praise God. Now, some of the things I'm talking about here, you don't have to go out here and try to tell somebody, oh, I'm the resurrection. You know, they're just going to blow their mind and say, whoa. They're going to have 1 foot going out the door and they're going to be running. But I'm talking to you for you to be established and be stable and be unmovable and get a hold of what God has for us to do. We all got a purpose. We got a calling. We got to do something. Let me read on just a little bit more here. And when these white robes were given unto one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, if we mortify something, could we say it's being killed? Come on now. Have y'all been partakers of death? See, what we've done is because of the lie and the deception through the religious dimensions and realms of these spirits, the spirit of the lie, the spirit of the Antichrist. You see, we keep putting this death off and thinking that one day we're going to take our last breath and that's death. That is a bad concept. It isn't a concept for children of God, sons of God. Not whatsoever at all. I've been crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. It's no longer I that lives, but now it's Christ. You see, this is the way sons of God talk. I have passed from death unto life. Amen. I have passed from death unto life. I'm eternal in the heavens. I'm hid away in Christ. Amen. Nothing could touch me. Nothing could be laid to my charge. I've been perfected once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I am perfect. Oh, Brother Rob, you know, there's no perfect. No one perfect. We just defied the Word of God and made the Word of God a lie. And I'm not going to follow after no word that's a lie. I'm not going to follow after no Bible that's got lies in it. I believe the Word of God. And when Jesus said that this last enemy of God was death and it's abolished and taken away, I happen to believe that. You think He's going to come back and do it again? I think when He said there at the cross of Calvary, He said, it's finished. I don't think He was a liar, do you? It's finished. He said, it's finished. That was the abolishing of death. You understand that? And when He gave up the ghost, you see, there was, if you were going to get into a chronological perspective, there's the beginning of the Holy Ghost. You understand that? But what spirit was it? It was the same spirit that dwelled in Jesus. Well, was it the Holy Ghost in Jesus? It was the Holy Spirit in Jesus. Because it was God's spirit. The spirit that no man has ever seen. It was the invisible spirit of God. That's what the Bible said the Holy Spirit is, or the Father. The Father is spirit. What spirit is He? He's the Holy Spirit. And the Father is the Holy Spirit that no man has seen. And then the spirit of the Father came into Jesus Christ in the fullness. And when He came into Jesus in the fullness, okay, so we see the Father. That's why Jesus said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. So what was taking place there? What was going on there? And we start trying to understand this. And then when He gave up the ghost, the Spirit of God departed from that body departed from it, and there was that human spirit there, and it screamed out. The human spirit, because it felt betrayed. And it felt because it took the full burden of sin on. And it felt betrayed. You see, God had no sin. He pulled out that thing and let the full burden of sin hit that man. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And pow, it went right into hell. Just like that. And he said, I suffered not the Holy One to see corruption, because he presented that body holy. He presented that body chaste and holy and pure. And he redeemed that thing where it wouldn't see corruption and comes forth in the resurrection. And it said, the same spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ shall dwell in you. What spirit is that? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, that's the third person of God. Well, you fool. Don't you call old man fool. You'll be in danger of hellfire. All men are fools. There ain't no son of God, no fool. And the rod's for the ass's back and for the fool, ain't it? Amen. If you've been chastened to the Lord, amen. When you keep presenting that man, and you keep presenting that man, and you keep resurrecting that man, and you walk in your pride of life, and you walk proud, and you walk religious, and you walk in your retention of your word, and you walk in those things, you're a stench in the nostrils of God. When you come to the revelation, you get that guy out of the way and you let it be Christ and him alone. Amen. And you let it bring glory to him and him alone. You testify about him and him alone. If you testify of yourself, your testimony is true. And if you've done anything good, it's him, and the glory goes to God. If anything good has been done, it's him, because there is none good, the Bible says, not even one. So quit trying to make yourself good and let him be good. He's the only thing that's good. Amen. And it's a good God. Amen. And we become one with him, and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we become the righteousness of God. We become the resurrection of God. We become the voice of God. We become the leading of the Lord into this earth. We become the bread of life. We become the salvation for the people. And you say, Brother Ron, you're pointing to yourself. I never pointed to myself. I said, I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, and it's Christ, it's Jesus, amen. It's him and him alone. Amen. Let's give him a hand, amen. Hallelujah. Let's go just a little bit farther if the Lord will allow us to. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You know, I think about this early move of the Quaker church, and they called them the Quakers because you know what would happen to them? Does anybody know where that term came from? It's because they would shake and quake under the power of God. I had that happen before I ever even heard there was a Quaker church. I never even heard of the Quakers before. And I had the Holy Ghost come on me one time. I was just starting to seek after the Lord. And I was at a meeting, and there was a minister down on the platform that has failed God. But man, he was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and was having an altar call. Man, I was way up there. We was in one of them big sports arenas that probably holds several thousand people. And there were several thousand people there. I don't know. I think I could safely say there might have been 10,000 people at this meeting. Man, I'm up in the balcony way up there, and I'm looking down on all this stuff, and I mean the Holy Ghost fell on me. It came on me, man, and I'm telling you, I was jackhammering so much, I was coming out of my shoes. A man cannot do that. It is absolutely physically impossible for a man to turn into an earthquake. I'm telling you, I know that. It is impossible. And man, all of a sudden I came out of this thing, and there was a man that grabbed a hold of me and goes, man, are you all right? I guess he thought I was, I don't know what he thought. But this man grabbed a hold of me, and my wife acted like she didn't even know me. She's like, yeah, I don't know who the dude is. I'm telling you what, I mean, I jackhammered. You say, what does that have to do with this? Well, let me tell you something. If we could start unveiling some things, I mean, where was I at here? And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, what is happening right there in that particular... What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Let's start with that. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Calvary. It's Calvary. Did you see this happen at Calvary? There was an earthquake. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom and made open. Now, let's bring us to Calvary. What is Calvary? If the Calvary is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we are the revelation of Jesus Christ, okay? So then we have to have this rending of this veil, That means that the man part has got to be exposed. Is this right? This man part has got to be done away with. Now, we've seen an exposure to the Son of Man on the cross of Calvary. And I said it was a shameful thing. And let me tell you, we're a shameful thing, brethren, in our flesh, in our first birth. And it's going to be exposed, and we get it down, because the Bible said the revealing of Christ cannot be, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, it cannot be until first the Son of Perdition be revealed. Okay? And you're saying, well, you can't say that the Son of Man was the Son of Perdition. Well, let me tell you what he did. He received the reward of every reward of the Son of Perdition, of every sin and every filthy, foul, ungodly thing as what you call sin, and conquered it and abolished it. And this is why we know no man after the flesh. So we got to get into this revelation of this thing. And what we do is we say the right things without birthing the right thing. You understand? We got to birth, and it's got to be brought forth. It's got to be alive. It's got to be now, because it is now. So we see this darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness is your carnal mind. The darkness is your intellectual mind. You understand that? So we go to the Old Testament. We see all these things being revealed to us. We see Joseph going down into a dungeon, down into a tomb. And we find that he gets clean shaven and he comes back forth. It showed the Lord Jesus Christ coming forth. He came back clean shaven. You know, the guys that were in the dungeon with Joseph, they might have, maybe if they brought him out of the dungeon, they said, who's that guy up there before him right now? Who is that guy? And they look at him, and then he speaks and he goes, oh, that's Joseph. You know, what about, they didn't know who Jesus was and walked on with when he spoke. There's something happened in their heart. Something burned down within them. And all of a sudden, because he appeared in another form, according to the Bible. What do you mean he appeared in another form? I'm standing before you. You're standing before me. Come on, brethren, let's give him a hand. You say, oh, that ain't what it means. No, you need to get in the Word. You see, that's why the Bible said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren. And if I can't esteem Brother Frady as a son of God and a brother in the Lord, I'll never have it myself. If I can't esteem Andy as a son of God and a brother in the Lord, I'll never have it myself. It's no longer Andy Beachy that lives, but it's now Christ. It's no longer Brother Bo that lives, no longer Brother Randy, no longer Brother Paul, no longer Brother Ed, no longer Brother Pete. We got to come. There's your revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He's well. He's on the throne. He's walking among the people, and he's still bringing salvation to humanity. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Let's go on just a little bit more. And the moon became blood. Now Jesus came in the second realm. Okay? He was the mediator. Now go to your Word. He's the mediator between what? God and man? Okay, so if we say God being in the third heaven, and we see man down in the first heaven, and Jesus came as a mediator. Okay, the cross is in the middle. The mediation is in the middle, taking the things from man and bringing it to God. Is this correct? Okay, it shows the moon. Now, what did the moon do? The moon has no power of projection of light, but the moon reflected light. Jesus reflected everything back to the Spirit. He said, I came in this image of reflection. I came in this image. I'm reflecting everything back to God. He gave all glory, all honor to God. Didn't bring it to himself, did he? He knew who he was. Amen. He was the one that was before the world ever was. He was the one that hung all these temporal things, you know, out here, the earth and all this stuff of this whole universe and all the things beyond it. Amen. He spoke all those things into existence, and he was there, and he said it was him alone that done it. Amen. Well, it says over there in Genesis, you know, that us led us. Amen. I agree. I teach that same thing. Amen. But while you're teaching to vindicate your three-person God doctrine, you know, I know who us is. Amen. He was talking about me. I was there before the foundation of the world with him. Amen. You got any us's here? Come on, man. I'm an us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all right, let's go a minute. I'm going to try to go a little bit farther here. And behold, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens, and the rocks and the mountains. And said, the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I'm not hiding. Come on now, brethren. There's some revelation here to get to understand, for the great day of wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Hallelujah. Let me say this. I'm going to, maybe if the Lord allow me, read on just a little bit more. The problem with going into the book of Revelation, again, is people trying to put it in a chronological order. It'll absolutely, if you try to do that, because when you go on, these things that we just read now are, we're going to be reading some other things here, if the Lord allows to go just a little bit farther, that won't fit as a man. But you see, there's no time in the Spirit. You see, Jesus, when he was talking to like Nicodemus and talking to some of these high religious men that were esteemed as great, 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 deep men of God, you know, they said, wait a minute. You know, you're 33 years old. I'm just paraphrasing. But, you know, look, you're 33 years old, and how could you have been here, you know, before Moses? Or how could you have been, you know, they see, they didn't understand that. You see, why? Because they were chronological. You see, that's man. They're fleshly. They think in the flesh. They design everything after the flesh, and they look and they count the stars going, or the shadows going around this earth, and that's what they are. You see, we're sons of God, leaping for joy before this world ever was. There is no shadows. There is no time. There is no distance. The angel put his foot, one foot on the land and another one on the sea, and said, time is no more. Amen. Well, when did that happen at Calvary? Amen. All the people before Calvary are creatures of time. What about after Calvary? What about after Calvary? What are those people? If he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that's Jesus. He's the finishing and he's the beginning. So what happens when you're in that? Where did your time go? You see, this is why Brother Pike made a statement that Brother William Branham couldn't bring out the seventh seal. It's because he said he was before Calvary, just like John the Baptist. And that he brought this thing up as the law and the prophets. And John the Baptist said, hey, there's one I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. Brother Branham said, there's another coming after me, but his people won't receive that today. So what are you trying to do? Point them to Christ? Or point them to Brother George Pike? What are you trying to point the people to? I'm surely trying to point them to me, ain't I? Come on now, you know better than that. I told you that I couldn't even hold to Brother William Branham. He's a one great, fine brother in the Lord. But I'm talking about we, brethren. Brother Pike said, we've got to come together. He said, we're the puzzle pieces. We need one another. You get a puzzle and you put it together, you know, and you got to get all those parts to get the image. And this is we, the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the resurrection. We are the manifestation. We are the salvation to this earth. We are commissioned by God to come to this earth to bring good news and glad tidings to men. We are commissioned to come to this earth and deny ourselves that he could live and that he could be seen. But we've got to bring it to a present. We got to bring this death and resurrection to a present day truth to today. And if we cannot mortify and kill out our man, our mind, our wishes, our desires, our ambitions, our envy, our jealousy, our strife, our backbiting, our all these things, then we are not part of the resurrection. Because that's not in the resurrection. All things will become perfect. He's perfected us. You see, this is why when I speak, I said, you know, I'm not looking for a tongue interpretation of tongues or a prophecy. I'm the fulfillment of those things. You're the fulfillment of those things. Well, are you against those things? Well, those are for the children. I'm speaking to sons of God. Well, Brother Rob, I've heard you say that we got to become as a child to enter into the kingdom. And I said, yes, we had to become as a child. We got to submit our sovereignty. We got to quit telling God what we're going to do or where we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. And then we're in the kingdom. How many have come into the kingdom? How many have been caught away to the kingdom of God? Come on now, brethren. We are the kingdom of God. You know, there's these progressions, body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual. There is a dimension of death. There is a dimension, you know, of resurrection. Amen. And we got to start seeing these. My Bible said that we are the children of light. Yes, you were formed in darkness. We just read about this darkness. Okay, so you were formed. It said light being formed within the darkness. So what you're seeing is darkness. What you got your eyes on is darkness. You'll see my weaknesses, my failures, because you're looking at the darkness. But there's light in this darkness. And this light outshine the noonday sun. This light has everything that pertaineth unto life. But you will not see it looking through this as we read the scriptures earlier, that we walk by faith, not by sight. And when you look by sight, even though I want to bring this faith into a substance, I want to bring it into an evidence. So instead of just telling you about all the beautiful work that Jesus done and the perfection he done, I want to bring it to a substance that you could see it. And you see a man walking as an overcomer, keeping himself unspotted from the world, separating himself from the world, and not trying to be part of this world. When you're continually looking at what you can do, well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see. Get with it. Get in the world. If that's your mind, that you're always looking for what you could partake of the world, just get with it. You're just in putting yourself in a travail. Enjoy this world while you can. Buy you a bikini, get to the beach. Strip off, have a good time. Go to the skating rink, go to the ice skating rink, go to the place with the little merry-go-rounds and the slides and the roller coasters and get with it. Just go and enjoy yourself because this is your heaven. This is your kingdom. This is your life. It's now for you. Have a wonderful and great time. I didn't come to enjoy the frolics of this world. I came with a desire to crucify and be a rejected stone in this world. I'm not looking for popularity and favor and all those things and the prestige of this world. Jesus wasn't either. Amen? He came and laid himself down. And until you come to that revelation, you're going to be in a wilderness and you're going to be looking for everything this world's got for you. And you're going to go, we all deal with this, brethren. We all deal with fleshly desires and fleshly things. And like I say, you can have nice things and nice things could have you. And God will add an increase to you or you can add an increase to you. Raised up in a wealthy home as a young man. You know, I didn't think much of it because that's where I raised up. You know, 17 years old, flying a twin-engine airplane, going anywhere I wanted to, taking my family, Thanksgiving over here and this and that. And I think right now if I had that airplane, I'm wondering, man, could I even put gas in it? You know what I'm saying? When I think of what gas is costing right now, you know, I'm not kidding. But what I'm saying is that Brother Pike asked me to take him somewhere, and he got in my van. My wife just put new upholstery in it, had new seats in it. Really done a first-class job, but the van I was doing a little bit of body work on, it was touched up, not with paint yet. And you know, and this man of God that deserved to be in a limousine, you know, for just expression, okay, don't misunderstand me. And he asked me to give him a ride to Athens. And we're going down 78 Highway, and he's sitting in there, and he said, you know, Brother Rob, he said, this is nice. Yeah. I said, nice is your Lexus, man, back there in the carport, brother. Why didn't we take it? And he said, no, Brother Robbie, he said, this is nice. He goes, this is God restoring. He said, I know you've already had all these things. When I showed up there, I had two brand new vehicles. And now I had an old van. Boy, ain't that awesome? You know what? I cherish the old van because it was something God gave me. The brand new vehicles I showed up with was after my own means, my own mind, my own thoughts, my own ambitions, my own skill, my own labors. See, most people couldn't tell the difference between it. They see, well, hey, man, he's got a brand new vehicle. He's blessed. That brand new vehicle might put me in hell. You see, but he said, God is restoring you, Brother Rob. And he's going to add all those things back to you, but he's going to do it. It's not going to be you doing it. You see, and did I understand to the fullness of what he was saying then? No, I really didn't. I perceived some, yes, and I got a glimpse of some things. But see, he knew something. He knew God. And he knew how God moved and how God worked. And sometimes through the stripping down, God is making rich. Sometimes through the sacrifice and the crucifixion, God is resurrecting. And sometimes we don't allow the crucifixion. Oh, not me. See, Jesus travailed at Gethsemane. Well, wait a minute. That's a pretty brutal path down there. I would go to think. Now, I could be wrong here. I could just about... I can't say I could insure you. Now, maybe you can go into the history books. No. But you know, Jesus was a man that went in and out of Jerusalem often. And I can guarantee you he saw men hanging on a cross probably in his time of his 33 years. I could say that he knew about the cross, the severity of the cross. I could tell you that he probably witnessed some of those things. And when he was asked to go, you see, it was God asking you to go to the cross today. And I know the average thought of your average Christian, oh, no, man, Jesus came and he went to the cross for me that I don't have to. That's a truth, and also it's one of the biggest lies ever. And you say, well, Brother Rob, we can't have a truth and a lie. It depends on what dimension you put it into. If you try to bypass a death, You will not make it in the resurrection because you can't be part of it. The only way to be part of the resurrection is through death. And you say, well, I've got faith in his death. Okay, well, now you're on the right track. But if you got faith in his death and you receive his spirit and you become one with him, bone of his bone, and you mortify that man. And then you'll understand what the blood is and the moon realm. And you'll understand what the sackcloth is and the veil in the dark. Because your mind is dark. Your mind, even with the brilliance of your illumination through your education and through the reading of the word, is nothing but darkness. It's carnal and it's death and it's enmity with God. But when you come to the mind of the revelation of Jesus Christ and knowing who you are in him and that you no longer live and now it's him, then you become to the life. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in the foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. How many of you have been sealed in? Amen. You say, well, I'm not part of them 12 tribes. Well, I know what you're part of. And cried a loud voice, verse 10. Saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Can you do that with me this morning? Hallelujah. Saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might before our God forever and ever. Amen. Saying amen, verse 12 again, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Please unveil that and see it and come to the revelation. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Praise God, we were there before the foundation of the world. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now see, chronologically, I know where you're going to go. These came out of the great tribulation. They came out of the great tribulation. Well, what are you going to do with the tribulation? Are you going to have a tribulation that was? Do you think that these apostles that were boiled in oil, some of them hung upside down or crucified upside down, would that have been tribulation, brethren? Amen. Come on now. Now you say, well, I know what the tribulation is, 7 years, thus, thus, thus. I say, okay, praise God. I'm not going to dispute that. I understand that. But who's that to? It's to the elect of God. What elect is going to be in the tribulation? Oh, I'm pre-rapture. I believe in pre-rapture. Shut up, please. You make me sick in my stomach with your ignorant dogma. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's sickening. I've already been raptured. That's why it's sickening to me. While you're sitting there saying, I believe in the rapture, and I believe in I'm going to be caught away to the throne, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. I've already there, brethren. You see, you're carnal. You're dead. You're religious. You're a stench in the nostrils of God. I've already been caught up to the throne. I've already been hid away in Christ. I've already been sealed in. Amen? I've made it. So what are you talking about here, Brother Rob? Well, those ones, if you're going to go into the was or the is or the to come, the one to come is the Jew. They're going to go through the tribulation, brethren. The Jews are going to go through the tribulation of what you're talking about, that 7 years of wrath. And they're going to pay with their own blood. I'm a son of God, brethren. You understand that? I've already been caught out. Is there tribulation now? Yes, to this man. There's tribulations. What are Jacob's troubles? And who is Jacob? Let me see if I could go on just a little bit farther. Maybe some of this will come to life to you. It says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Is that past tense, brother? Is that future? What is that? Come on. Is it our testimony as a church? I've been washed in the blood. I've been made white as snow. Hallelujah. It's the songs we sing all the time. So why could you make that future? Come on now. Come on now, brethren. We have problems with dimensions, people, and they just get these things all messed up. Verse 15, therefore, and they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Jesus said, come and drink of this and you'll never thirst ever again. Neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. Man, I'm so thankful that my God is now. I'm thankful that I'm a son of God led by the Spirit of God. I'm thankful that he is the light and the light of this world, and it illuminates and shines forth in me, that darkness cannot touch me. Darkness cannot get me. Death cannot even get close to me. It's finished. It's done. I'm with him. I'm eternal. I'm living forever. Come on, saints. We're the saints of God. It's already been finished. It's done. We're human, and we're fleshly, and we're man, and we're like, oh, well, one day, brother. Oh, one day, brother. You know, say, well, Brother Rob, I know that you suffer in this flesh. I know that you this. Oh, you want to talk about flesh now? Is that what you want to talk about, oh, wretched man that I am? Who's going to deliver me from this body? Oh, my back. Oh, my back. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, my, you want to go there? I'm not talking about that man. He's been crucified with Christ. I'm here to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. He is my salvation. He is my God. He is now. He's with me. He's in me. I'm with him. I'm in him. I'm eternal. Amen. That's something to shout about. That's something to give him the praise and the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven angels of God. Another set of scriptures will tell you that. Back over in Revelation a little earlier. Seven spirits of God. We started thinking of the seven churches, the seven church ages, the messengers. We start tying all these things together. Lord will help you. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seventh angel which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And first angel sounded, and there followed hell, fire mingling with blood, and there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire, which was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, there's some importance here when we're speaking of the third. And I'm just going to go real brief here, but just to get you a thought for when you read this, you can get some revelation or some understanding. You know, when we think of the tail that went around a third part of the stars, and then when we think of you being broke down into thirds, and I know, again, you know, I'm always pounding on, it seems like, the three-person people, you know, the three-person God. But you are built into, so we could say, I'm going to use a third. You got a body, a soul, and a spirit. And we say a third of you was killed, the flesh, and it's gone and done away. The second part's in a fight, in a travail, a struggle. The spirit of reconciliation has come to him to reconcile. Reconcile what? Well, this part's already been redeemed. It's dead. It's gone. But then it's the purchase, possession, redeemed. So all this is happening in that middle, that second part, that fight, the blood and all the things that are taking place there. And it's a fight. This is why all the blood had to come out of Jesus. The corruption is in the blood. Well, his blood wasn't corrupted. I say, yay and amen, it wasn't corrupted because he had the Father that I have. The Spirit crying, Abba, Father. That's why there's no corruption in me. Amen, because I got a different blood. Amen. I was born into that. I wasn't adopted in there. I was born into that. I got this royal blood. You see, when you're adopted, you don't have royal blood. You understand that? So that part is going to come into this mind, into this revelation, to bring it to others that they could know where good's at. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's go on just for a moment here. And was I at verse 9 there? Yes. And it says, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life. And when you start talking and speaking about in here, the blood, and it's talking about the water. And it's talking about the spirit. All through these kind of things. And we've got to start differentiating some of these things down. Verse 10, and it says, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Let me go back, finish 9, and we'll go to 10. Verse 9 again. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and the many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Said, drink of this thing is sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the belly. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon. The sun having to do with that spirit realm. We think of when Lucifer being cast out, that tail came around a third part of those stars and cast out them stars representing those things. Now, there's some stars that it mentions in the book of Revelations are reflector stars. They don't have no power like the moon to project a light. Some are reflectors. So when you talk about some of the stars being cast out, some of those stars were reflectors, but there are some stars that are projectors that project the light. It has to do with the spirit. And it was a place. Hell was not made for man, the Bible says. It was not created for man, but it was created for them because they're eternal. They're gods. They're eternal. Don't you realize that? Don't you realize that Satan and those third to come out, they're eternal. They're eternal. And that's why hell was made for them, because they had to have a place that they'd be cast into and forever and ever and ever and ever in torment. It wasn't made for man. But when man receives that spirit, when man fellowships that fleshly spirit, that worldly spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist, he fellowships, that's man's destiny then. I'm predestined to eternal life in Christ. Some men are predestined to eternal damnation. And it's because they savor the flesh, they savor their mind, they savor their ministries, they savor their prestige, they savor themselves, they know more than anybody else, they're smarter than everybody else, they're more spiritual than everybody else, and they got Satan. You know how you know they got Satan? Because Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And they'll put Andy Beachy to death, they'll put Randy Gilbert to death, they'll put Ed to death, and they're continually accusing the brethren. You see, there's no life in that, brethren. There's no life. We're the sons of God. I'm not going to come against the body of the Lord. And you say, they got problems. We all got problems. All men have fallen short. But it's by the glory of Him. It's by the praise of Him. He's our God. If He can't make Andy Beachy right to accept Him, He'll never make you right. But why do we make it impossible for Him to save or to help somebody? Because we're lofty, puffed up, fleshly, and exalting ourselves, and you'll be cast down every time. The haughty spirit comes before the fall. Kill it. Destroy it. Okay, go 12. For the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of other voices of trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit and smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Where is that at? That's Calvary. When Jesus was smitten on the cross of Calvary, the keys were opened up the bottomless pit, brethren. This is why Satan has his run in this earth. This is why he's the God of this world. You see, there's going to be a time that he's going to be chained and bound for 1,000 years. But right now, it's not that time. Oh, bless God, I'm a Christian, I took authority over him, and I bound him. I said, I wish you wouldn't have bound him to you. You know, hey, I believe in authority and power, brethren. I believe I got authority over Satan, and I could run him off. But you know what? I'd have enough sense to know he's going to come back, and I got to keep myself full of the Holy Ghost. I got to keep myself walking in the Spirit. I got to keep on walking in all authority and power, and I got to keep the shield of faith and a breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, or otherwise he's going to come back and conquer me. Well, if he does, it proves you wasn't a son of God. I say, yea and amen. I say, yea and amen, because Jesus never lost them, except the son of perdition. Amen. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, the smoke of the great furnace and the sun, and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them which was given power as the scorpions of the earth, and have power. I know many are looking for this future. It is now. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, out of those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, five having to do with grace. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when it had stricken a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Let me tell you, bring that into a present man. There's people that really want to mortify their man. They have that desire because they know the reaping of the mortification or killing that man out is life. An abundant life, but they can't find that death. Their carnal intellectual mind is too religious, too puffed up, too desiring of itself and manifesting of itself, and they can't find it. And you say, I don't know about that. I watch it every day, brethren. And it says, those men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, verse 14, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. We start getting into what we say Armageddon and some of these things as we go on here, but we're also looking for the present day truth and the revelation. Verse 19 says, and the power was in their mouth and their tails, for their tails were like unto the serpents, and had heads which them they do hurt. Let's stand up. We're going to close. And the Lord was trying to stop me a minute ago, but I've felt pressed in my spirit. Of course, some of the times people listen and different things, but I can't press over this any longer. You've done well, and I appreciate you. There's things, brethren, that are sometimes could be hid from us, and we got to be very careful. Sometimes we can be looking at something and think that we perceive and see, but we're not looking at what we think we see. We're looking at something that's veiled, something that's hid, or something we're not seeing the part that's hid. You've done well. Don't take this as a challenge. I just got to stop. I remember Brother Pike exhorted me, sat down and talked with me two times about this. He said, Brother Rob, don't go to the book of Revelation unless the Lord sends you there. And I stay clear of it a lot of times. He said, if you go there out of some concept of something in an intellectual way, he said, it'll destroy the church. He said, don't do it. And the thing is God can unveil things to you, and you've got to find the liberty to speak it and allow him to allow you to speak it. I don't see things like Brother Pike did. He break these things down to personalities and lives and people and ministers and things, and man says so many astounding things. Amen. And the thing is, but I thank God for the little glimpse of some of these things that I do have, that I can bring the revelation of Jesus Christ into a present day truth and a manifestation. And the revelation of Jesus Christ wasn't a doctrine that Brother George preached. He was. And that comes to a revelation of you, that you don't come to an understanding that I'm part of a revelation that a man preached, that you become one with Jesus Christ, one with God. That's the only place that you're predestined to if you're a son of God. It's predestined in Him. If you're not totally in Him, one with Him, bone of His bone, flesh, flesh, you got nothing. You got no say-so, no part of anything. It's all about Jesus, brethren. It's all about Him. I thank God that Jesus had worked in another form. I thank God for some of these great men of God. As we speak of William Branham, I thank God for him, that he came in another form. Well, you said, well, he was on the other side of Calvary. Well, sure he was. So was John the Baptist. I got all respect for him too. Amen. And the thing is when you come over and then you start speaking about the Apostle Paul, what side of Calvary was he on? He was, you know, at that time pursuing after the church, seeking to kill. You know, so where are we at? Where's Calvary at? Where is the angel with one foot on the land and one on the sea? What does the land have to do with, and what does the sea have to do with? And his hands lifted up towards heaven, declaring that time is no more. But when you are timely is when you're teaching that one day you're going to get raptured. That's because you're a creature of time. Well, don't you believe in the change of the body? Sure I do. Man, I'd be some kind of crazy if I didn't believe in the change of the body. Well, even Brother George taught that as a rapture, and I said, sure he did. But you know, he was talking to some that were looking for it, and he was talking to some that knew it, and he was talking to some that had been raptured. So if I'm in no time and believe that we are the sons of God and that there is no time for the children of God, then I could say I'm raptured, right? Okay, but then the part that's the purchased possession that's redeemed, what's going to happen with him? Well, he's already redeemed, and the Bible says we will with the redemption of the body. What does that mean? It means that this body is going to be made, you know, they'll see it in the change, in the transfiguration, just like they saw Jesus when he come in and walked into the room, that the doors were locked and bound, and Jesus come walking into that room. When he walked into that room, you know, when he stood in that room, they knew the doors were bound. You see, that was a transfigured body. That was not the flesh man that walked amongst the men. That was the resurrection that stood in there before him. And it's the resurrection that stands before you today. You understand? You say, but I know who your daddy is. And I know you were born, you know, 55, 6 years ago. I know this and I know that. You see? You're blind. Sorry. I can't help you. You know, because we just started out the thing today. You don't know him after the flesh. Does that give me the license to continue to walk in the flesh and to sin because you're not supposed to know me in flesh? That ain't all. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't come walk in the flesh, did he? Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the mercy of God. You know, thank God for that, brethren, because sometimes we'll yield our members over to carnality or to that mind of death. But if we continue on, and I find a pattern in your life of continually crucifying me in your mind, continually coming against the brother, and continually, you are nothing but a creature of the flesh, and you will die in the flesh. I'm sorry, that's not my desire for you to die in the flesh. That's not my desire for you to die. You'll be partakers of the second death. Second death has no touch or hold on the sons of God, because we've already passed from death unto life. Amen. Start understanding what truly being born again is. When you're truly born again, you got the spirit of love. Go back to what we read, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians there. Read that. Do you have that spirit of charity in you? Do you thinketh no evil? Do you vaunteth not yourself up? Come on now. Thinketh no evil? We the sons of God. Amen. It's tough. Let's sing a song and we'll close the service. I love you and appreciate you. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Amen. Gentle Savior. The altars are open this morning. If you want to ask God to mortify that carnal mind If you want to ask God to kill out your thoughts and to kill out your desires and your will, that you could lay it down and ask Him to help you, that you could be numbered with the children of the resurrection, that you could be partakers of the resurrection, not looking for the future hope, but being the present now of the resurrection. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to walk in the fullness of Christ. Amen. I thank God for His mercy and His grace. I thank God for His long suffering, but I don't want to keep pleading and expecting that grace in my lasciviousness. I want to take authority as a child of God, and I want to walk in the power and the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to just stumble my way through and have bandages on me and being wrapped up and carried by the Good Samaritan. Man, I want to walk in all authority and power and might, filled up with the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit with children of God in my hands, hallelujah, carrying them into the kingdom and encouraging all to come, amen, and to come up hither and walk with Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I feel the Spirit of God, amen. It feels good, amen. Hallelujah. When you feel like just taking over your body in such a way, you just feel it all the way down to your feet, all the way up into the hair of your head. You can feel that surging of the Holy Ghost, amen. You say, well, I'm not saved by feelings. I say, neither am I. But it sure does feel good. It sure feels good when you feel that touch, as you feel the cleansing touch, the refreshing power, when you feel that surging moving in your body, helping and strengthening you. Amen. There ain't nothing greater than that. You love Him, saints. I know you're the children of God. I honestly, truly believe that you believe that you're God's elect, God's children, God's chosen, God's anointed, the resurrection of Him. Hallelujah. The mouthpiece of God in the earth, walking in the authority, the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get out of the travail of the intellectual concept of man. Get out of that mind. Amen. Walk in the valley of peace. Amen. Walk in the presence of the Lord with peace that surpasses all understanding. When you have troubles resting and you're tossing to and fro because of your mind being so wild and so active, you haven't found that peace of God. Amen. Pray and say, God, grant me the peace. Amen. Let me overcome this intellectual mind that robs me of peace and robs me of joy and makes me envy and makes me hate and makes me jealous and makes me carnal, makes me smite. All those, oh God, deliver me from that man. Deliver me from that mind. Let me walk in the Holy Ghost. Let me walk in the Spirit. Let me be led by the Spirit of God. Fill me up, Lord God, with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your love, oh God. Let it be emanated from me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can that be your prayer this morning? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. He's good, isn't He? Amen. He's good. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.